You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Hello there, it's One of Us crew. We are here for a recording that I'm really hoping is going to be a little bit less intense than the movie we watched, no matter how good it may have been.
Like they don't want us to talk about this movie.
Well, you know, it was one of those movies that, like, when you first heard about it, everyone said, don't watch the trailers, and it almost feels weird to do a review of it now, because I'm like, just... like, I want to just start this and go, look, it's socially relevant. You ought to watch the movie. It's going to be a really hard watch. Now just go and stop.
100%.
Just to be as vague as possible, it's about a woman who's getting her own version of revenge.
Yes.
On different types, all types of the worst men that you see in real life.
Before we get too deep into this, I am Aaron, Papa Bear Whittle, of course. And with us today, we have Adrian El Critico.
Hello.
Jennifer, the curmudgeon.
Hey, everybody.
And the one, the only, the Bradley Martin.
Hello.
Adrian, you were going into kind of a spoiler-free review of the plot. Hit it.
Yeah, so it's just about a woman getting revenge. They don't explain why right away, but you can kind of piece it together while you watch it. And it's a really cathartic experience in the sense that this is something that we probably all want to do when we're in a situation like this. And because these are men that you see in real life. They're not even parodies of men in real life. These are just real assholes. And it makes it something that's both cathartic yet grounded, I would say.
Yeah, so the people she's getting revenge against are quote-unquote nice guys who pretend to be wonderful, sweet, caring individuals who will totally sexually assault, molest, or do all kinds of horrible things to anybody, no matter what their state, and justify it, too. And also, like, fair warning, the movie deals with some pretty intense themes if you haven't figured it out from the trailer. Also, it feels weird to just, like, pigeonhole this as a revenge film, because that's only a part of it. Part of this movie is indeed her getting revenge, and there is, I'm not going to lie, a point where she's intimidating a guy and telling him how there are tons of women like her, and she's one of the nicer ones, and I really, really kind of want this intensely socially aware Avengers film where all the female Avengers get together and just, like, kill all the rapists.
But that would be kind of going into what this movie does a good job at avoiding, is that it never feels exploitative.
No.
Because this could have gone the direction of like a 70s type rape revenge movie, and it's not at all going near that kind of territory.
It's interesting the way that the film is structured, because you kind of expect in a film, you know, you start at the beginning, something bad happens, and then you have like the third act where they come in and get the revenge or whatever. This kind of flips that dynamic on its head. You start at the beginning with what's happening in the Rageverse, and then through the course of the movie, the main character goes through this really beautiful arc of attempting to move past this horrible situation that has consumed her entire existence for the better part of a decade, it seems like, at this point. And she starts off just jaded and miserable, and her whole life is consumed by this vengeance. And then part of the way through the film, she flips the script and decides to shelf it and try to move on with her life, and does a really great job of it for a minute. And you think that, okay, this is going to be the opposite kind of story of what you think it is. Maybe she's going to end happy, everything's going to go well, we're going to have faith in the universe. And then that gets flipped on its head again. So it's really interesting to see how this dynamic is the opposite of what I expected going into it. Interesting that the subject of the film is what happens when somebody's innocence is lost. and you see a character who starts the film without any, gain some back, and see how she kind of has this new lease on life and what she does with it. It's a really fascinating character development through this film.
It's interesting that the movie feels a lot more focused on the effects of the trauma of an event than any mm-hmm. actual event. Like, you never see the attack that inspired everything. And she was a close loved one of the person who was attacked. So, like, she herself didn't experience that. And then as she goes through and starts focusing on her revenge and her growth and what may or may not have been a giant, grand Park Chan-wook revenge trilogy-esque plan that I was building in my head halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
Same.
It's never focused on what she's doing to people. It's the emotional impact of what she may or may not have done or what she did in the past. It was an angle that I wasn't expecting.
Absolutely. Especially because of the way that the trailer was set up. I watched the trailer and had expectations of what this film was going to be because of that. But it's a really masterful way of not beating you over the head with a situation the way that so many films do. Like, this film is about rape, so we're going to show you rape and it's going to be awful. It really focuses so much more on the subtle nuances of people and the way people are affected by situations and the way their lives change because of it, rather than beating you over the head with what happens in that moment. It's all about what happens afterwards and the way people change. And I think that's fascinating.
I think this is definitely going to make some people uncomfortable. I think
it probably should, though. The movie is supposed to make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm thinking, like, how does a movie like this, it's primarily filled with gross people doing really, really gross things. How can you watch that for 90 minutes? And it's helped out because it's also really, really fucking funny. This is one of the most hilarious scripts I've seen this year.
It's full of comedians playing at drama, which they always do the best at, it turns out.
It's written and directed by Emerald Fennell, and she did an amazing job. The script is whip smart, the direction with one random exception where the main character reacts to a voice she hears on a recording that was, it pulled me out. It was so slow-mo and overdone. I kept going like, wait, did they just like randomly cut to her just like tearfully walking down the side of a road? That was weird. But like, aside from that one thing, it is a beautiful film. It is stylish. It is creatively editing. It's split up into kind of vignettes of sorts, although they are definitely telling a single coherent narrative. Mm-hmm. So like, the whole thing feels very auspicious and theatrical. It feels almost like Quentin Tarantino and Wes Anderson had a daughter, and she wrote an amazing script and filmed this amazingly in-depth, nuanced movie from unfortunate personal experience.
You mentioned that it's like they had a daughter, but I feel like she's also just kind of made her own style. If anyone is wondering who that is, she's the creator of Killing Eve, and she directed the first season. And if you've seen Killing Eve, this matches that same style of humor and writing, and I think it works really, really well for it. That's the kind of funny it is. It's not funny in the same way that like Borat is funny. It's funny in the way that you can watch a comedy while drinking wine and eating cheese. It's funny.
It's worth noting, too, that she's primarily been an actress in her career.
Yeah.
This is her first feature film, and it's like her fourth title writing. She's written some television and a couple of shorts, Killing Eve, as we mentioned. And I really hope she keeps writing and directing movies, because holy shit.
This was wonderful, especially considering it's a first feature. That's just way to blow it out of the water. I'm a little afraid to see what stories she's going to tell in the future, if this is, you know, what she does with her powers. Whew, be ready for it.
I just hope she doesn't get bought out by DC or Marvel, but no. That's just me.
Well, no, if she does, though, she could give us a cool superhero movie and then do a movie, a passion project. That's how the system works, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Go Marvel, don't go DC. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not sure if it's the same crew at any point, but like I mentioned, if you've seen Killing Eve, you'll also know that like soundtrack is a big part of that show, and the soundtrack is a big part of this movie too. It's got one of the best, I kind of hate to compare it to it, but like Quentin Tarantino style of like every song in this movie feels like it was made to be in the scene, and I think that's another like really fantastic part of this movie.
I feel now the need to quantify my earlier statement. I compared her to those two, not because I necessarily think that she films this movie like them. Like, she does an amazing job of approaching the camera with this handheld aesthetic where it doesn't quite feel as locked down as the Wes Anderson style, but it definitely feels on purpose and slightly not our world, like just a little artificial. The same with the dialogue. Like, it doesn't feel like Earth. It feels like this magical reality where people get to say things like this. Like when you watch a Quentin Tarantino movie or the Wes Anderson writer, who I'm blanking on his name all of a sudden, even though I should know it. And the acting is also quality throughout. I can't think of anyone who turns in a poor performance or even anything that isn't honest and sincere.
Yeah, especially, I've never doubted him, but I was kind of surprised how much I like Bo Burnham in this. I'm used to just seeing his stand-up, and I know he directed Eighth Grade, but seeing him in this movie, I wasn't seeing, like, oh, this is just Bo Burnham. Like, no, he definitely escaped into this character. I thought he did a really good job.
It was Clancy Brown as the lead character's father. He's the one who got me. Bo Burnham, I kind of assumed that he was quality because my first exposure to him at all was Eighth Grade. And so to me, he's not the comedian. He's the writer-director of Eighth Grade. And so I'm like, yeah, of course. Of course he's going to do good.
My favorite cameo was Connie Britton because I don't think college administration gets as much salt as it should be getting, especially in the past 5 years, I'll say. So her playing this strong, powerful system even, and saying, well, that's just the way it is, and we're looking out for all of our students. And when that table is flipped on her and she becomes this sniveling, like, yes, I understand what's actually going on here. Leave me alone. I sigh. I'm a huge fan of Connie Britton is what I should just end this rant on, because I realize it's a bit nonsensical.
So. Yeah.
No, it's totally sensical. And it brings me to, I think, the strongest point for me in this film, which is the way it feels to be somebody who has been in a position where they have no power. Yeah. And where other people have all of the power to make decisions for you and to choose whether to invest in you and believe in what you have to say or to ignore you and take somebody else's part. And they do an amazing job in this film of capturing exactly how claustrophobic that feeling is and how full of anxiety and just the power of the emotion that completely overrides all logical thought when you're in that kind of powerless situation. This film is not easy to watch, and especially was not for me. I mean, I walked out of the end of this movie and just sat on the couch for a good 45 minutes, like feeling like I wanted to cry and hug somebody and curl up into a little ball. And it just did a really great job of putting you in the shoes of what it feels like to be in that situation in a way that there cannot be enough conversations to fully discuss and to encompass. It's kind of something you either have felt and experienced or you haven't. And it's not often that we get to have those kinds of honest conversations and to have that story told emotionally as opposed to physically. You can physically overpower someone. It's very hard to capture how you emotionally overcompensate for somebody. And this film just knocked that out of the park in a way that I'm very sad to say is necessary.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah. We've been using the term revenge. She gets revenge to how her friend was wrong. About an hour in, I started thinking, justice? I'm no fan of Frank Castle, by the way. Not a big fan of The Punisher. But I'd call this more of a justice quest than a revenge. Because revenge sounds so pity, and revenge is wrong. And at the end of the day, she wants these guys that pick her up as she fakes drunk to say sorry. And they can't even do that when they're being confronted with the reality of a situation. And I wish that was parody, but I've known enough people in my life that would do something like this, and that have even, that have never apologized for it. I know someone who's behind bars that will not apologize for that. So that was not only spot on for me, from what I know in my experiences, that needs to be heard. No more sympathy for rapists. No more, but what of his reputation? 24 sexual assaults and a guy can become president. Reputation is bullshit if you have money and power. And I very much enjoyed this movie.
Yeah. I'll say, what, Bradley, why don't you go ahead and just pull into your final thoughts with this?
Well, this is 100% my favorite ensemble of the year. I was pretty gleeful at seeing all of the cameos that would just suddenly pop up. Because in the trailers, you get some of them, but you don't see all of them. And there is a lot. One of my favorite serious thespians of all time and makes a random cameo. And he does a great job as well. All my favorite women comedians are in this. Connie Britton, I've been such a huge fan of since Friday Night Lights. And Carey Mulligan, the lead, I've been a huge fan of hers since, what was it called, An Education. And I've been following her career very closely. So I'm glad that she's being brought back to the limelight. I really hope there's an Oscar nomination in the future for her, but who knows when this will be released and all those silly things. Laverne Cox is in this, you guys. And everything I've seen her in, usually Netflix flair, she's hilarious. She has chemistry with her co-workers, what is it, co-actors. And it's just so fun to see. And seeing her in a very serious, respectable, great film, maybe more people can be like, okay, let's get her in more of these things. And I love the message. I'm tired. I'm so tired of, well, they made a mistake, but people can change. They're not going to. It's not happening. It's time for them to apologize. It's time for accountability to be real, not just talked about in think pieces on Reddit, actual real accountability. And it's time to tell real stories about this, not, well, this happened to you, get over it. That's how you have a better life. You get over it. Justice, accountability, please. Loved this movie. I'm giving it a 10 out of 10.
Right on.
All right, Adrian El Critico?
Yeah, what Bradley said, pretty much.
That's our review. Thanks, everybody.
He wrapped it up perfectly. No, this this movie somehow summarizes every fucked up thing that's happened within the last 4 years and how shitty it's been, and shows you that, you know what, you can definitely move past it. You can get over it. You can even beat it. If you're able to just kind of step up. This movie does feel cathartic. And yeah, it is more of a justice film than a revenge film. But I meant that in the sense that even though this is way more poetic and realistic in what it does, it still just feels satisfying seeing what happens to some of these people who genuinely do deserve it. Great performances, fantastic soundtrack. I love Killing Eve. I feel like this director can do no wrong at this point. And I'm looking forward to whatever comes next, because this was fan-fucking-tastic. I'm going to give this 5 out of 5. I can't think of anything. I just love this movie. Go see it.
All right, Jennifer.
So this movie was physically painful for me to watch in the best way possible. Like, the best analogy I have for how this movie made me feel is, like, it's like watching Schindler's List. It's a beautiful film that tells an amazing story that just shows you how deep and dark humanity can go, but it's an important message that is going to be timeless and is probably never going to be something you can't relate to in one way or another. It reminds me of that scene in A Clockwork Orange where his eyes are peeled open and he's being force-fed the media, and it hits you right in the gut like that, and it's something that you won't forget easily. And if you're not moved by this film, you might need to go talk to somebody, because... It's just, it's all the feels, all of them, all of the hard feels. And it's elegant storytelling. And like I said before, they could have beat you over the head with physically showing you things that happened, but instead, it's all about the emotional journey that the characters go on. All of the villains of the piece are all given many opportunities to do better. They are given multiple opportunities on screen to do better, and none of them take it. They all do it to themselves. The main character shows up with more of an air of benevolence of, I'm going to set this situation up. You're going to have the final say in what happens. It's either going to go one way or another. You decide. And they all decide, and they get what they've decided because of it. But it's not about what happens. It's about the message between her and them and teaching them something. It's all about teaching people what it's like to feel powerless and what it's like to know how to do better. And I think that's the most important message that you could possibly tell in a setting like this. And I applaud this film. I've not been this moved by something in a while. And I just did Uncle Frank, which moved me a lot. And this moves me more than that. So that's saying something to me. Yeah, so I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 posthumous justice messages.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw the Uncle Frank trailer for the first time earlier today, and the trailer made me cry. So,
cannot hype that film enough. Go see it.
So yeah, Promising Young Woman is maybe the most complex emotional experience I had in 2020. Like, 2020 was it was pretty shit, but like everything, you know, that happened, it was either okay, I can feel really good about this, or I can feel really bad about this. There's no middle ground whatsoever. This movie is challenging. It is intense and painful and beautiful, and we're right. Like it's sold as a revenge film. The trailers sell it as a revenge film. It's not about revenge. It's about what should be happening. This is one of the most painful, wonderful movies that I've seen. I hate a lot about this movie because it hurt me deeply, but there is not one thing about this film that is not respectful and honest and earned. Like, this is one of the movies this year that I'm going to be championing to everyone I can. And it's going to be something that is going to make a incredibly uncomfortable and necessary and emotionally evocative Christmas watch with my wife when this comes out, because she was really upset that she wasn't able to sit down and watch it in the narrow screening window we had. This is just shy of a perfect movie. I can't wait to see what else Emerald Fennell comes out with, either as a writer or a director. She has my attention from now on. This is 10 out of 10 Promising Young Women for me. And just to get not serious, I have to admit, as we were going around, I know I didn't make Bradley or Adrian come up with a thing, but this whole time I was like, fuck, Promising Young Women. It makes a great one. I got to use it. Don't anybody say it. It's so perfect.
I didn't even realize I didn't give a silly joke score.
That's okay.
I cheated. I wrote mine when I watched the movie, so I cheated.
It's hard because of the content of the movie. It's something that you don't really want to joke about. This is it's very serious. Like, this should be seen, and it will make you uncomfortable no matter who you are. Yeah. But it's a good thing.
Still pretty funny, though.
Yeah, it is. It's hilarious.